Just a moment, I'm going to be reading the very first verse of the New Testament, Matthew 1 and verse 1. I invite your Bibles to that place so you can be ready to read the Word of God together. Matthew 1 and verse 1 is where we'll begin. About mid-January, I got a text message from my oldest sister. She sent it to me and my other two sisters. An obituary from a man named Kenneth Garner in Palestine, Texas. Now, the reason that was intriguing to us is Palestine, that's East Texas, not the Mideast. Palestine, Texas, where my dad is from. And my dad never knew his dad. Morris Garner was his name, but he abandoned his family when my dad was very young, left behind a wife, a little girl, and two baby twin boys. And so dad obviously never spoke of him, and we don't know what happened to him or where he went. And so for curiosity's sake, we've always wondered about the Garner clan. Now, the Lay side on my mother, we've traced them all the way back to Noah's Ark. But the Garners, we don't know. And so when we saw a Garner from Palestine who passed away, I'll confess, I went to myheritage.com, ancestry.com, because we want to know, who are my people? Where are we from? And a lot of people do that. But for the Jewish people, it was not just curiosity. To them, the genealogy or their heritage determined things like priestly lineage, inheritance, property rights. And that's why genealogies are so frequent throughout the Old Testament. And of all things, the very first thing that Matthew starts with when he begins his gospel in chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And you wonder, why? Why would the New Testament begin with those words? Because Matthew wants us to know, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus whom we're called to serve and to bow down before and to obey? Well, he's the son of Abraham, the son of God. And in verse 17, he concludes this genealogy by saying, therefore, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the time of Christ, 14 generations. Now, do you think that the ancestry of Jesus really fit that neat and nicely into three sets of 14 generations? I'm not saying God couldn't have done that if he so chose. But it's apparent that Matthew has arranged them in that way for a purpose. Remember, this would have been before people had their own copy to read for themselves. And so they had to commit things to memory. For us, when we teach our children things they can't read yet, we put it to song. Jesus called them one by one. Well, instead of putting it to song, Matthew did, which was very common to the Jewish people, he used numbers. Three sets of 14. He left out some names. And even in the way they're listed to get to 14, one of them you have to count twice. But he's doing that to help them remember. Who is this Jesus? Where did he come from? And why should I obey him? Now, Matthew's three groups are Abraham, David, and the deportation, or as other versions have, the exile or captivity. I want you to see them tonight in these three words: seed, king, and savior. And that will help us in our quest, not out of curiosity, but to ask this question: who is this Jesus? Let's look at these three groups of 14. The first one begins in verse 2. A little girl came back from Bible class, and her mom could tell she was perplexed about what they had studied. And she said, well, what's wrong? What did the teacher tell you? And she said, I didn't realize people back in the Bible just couldn't remember anything. And she said, what do you mean? She said, well, Abraham forgot Isaac and Isaac forgot Jacob. And that's what some of the versions have. If you have King James or New King James, the New American Standard has, to Abraham was born Isaac, and to Isaac, Jacob, and to Jacob, Judah and his brothers, and to Judah were born Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and to Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron, Ram. And to Ram was born Amminadab, and to Amminadab, Nashon, and to Nashon, Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz by Ruth, and to Boaz was born Boaz by Rahab, and to Boaz was born Obed by Ruth, and to Obed, Jesse, and to Jesse was born David the king. Who is this Jesus? Number one, he's the seed of promise. The seed of promise that was first given to Abraham. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, the pages of Bible history shrink and focuses on one man and his family. And that family is Abraham. And there God makes a covenant with Abraham regarding his descendants and the land in which they will live. But in Genesis chapter 22, instead of saying, in you all nations of the earth will be blessed, in Genesis 22, here's what God promises Abraham beginning at verse 16. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So it wasn't just a covenant simply with Abraham's descendants, but through his seed, all nations are going to be blessed. And to Abraham was born one, the son of promise. When the Hebrew writer said he was as good as dead, and to a barren woman. And so even in this first seed, we see the human and divine. The human, the union of Abraham and Sarah. but the divine in God opening her womb and bringing a child to a man in his old age. And Abraham believed God. And even Sarah is said in Hebrews 11 and verse 11 that she trusted that God was faithful to keep His promise. And through His seed comes the one who will bless all the nations of the earth. Who is this Jesus? He's the son of Abraham. He's the seed of promise. Do you realize that the time that passed from the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12 to the coming of Jesus in Matthew 1 was 2,100 years? In other words, it's the same time, essentially, that's passed since the cross of Christ to where we are today. But they believed God. They trusted that God would keep His promise, that He was faithful to His word. And what you see in Jesus' genealogy is God being able to keep His promise and fulfill His purpose in spite of the failures and sin of men. In this first section that we read are the names of three women. The first is Tamar in verse 3. This was the Tamar who dressed as a prostitute so that she could father a child through her father-in-law. And God used that. He was able to work that into His plan and fulfill His promise. In verse 5, you have someone not just dressed as a harlot, but Rahab, the harlot, from the city of Jericho, but who was redeemed by the spies, married into the tribe of Judah, and becomes an example of faith in Hebrews 11 and works in James 2. God was able to use her who left her prostitution in Jericho. And in the same verse, you have Ruth, the Moabitess, who never would have even come into the picture had Elimelech and Naomi not left Canaan because of a famine, trying to find food elsewhere, and went to Moab. And there Naomi brought Ruth back. And she was redeemed by Boaz. And through her comes the Redeemer. She's in the lineage. God is faithful to what He has promised. What He has said, He will do. And He is able to take those who make mistakes and don't trust in Him and try to do it on our own and make things worse. And He's able to bring that into fulfill His purposes. To which Paul would later write in Galatians 3 and verse 29, "And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." Who is this Jesus? He's the seed of promise, the son of Abraham. The next section in Matthew 1 begins in the middle of verse 6. This is the second set of 14. And to David was born Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. And to Solomon was born Rehoboam, and to Rehoboam Abijah, and to Abijah Asa. And to Asa was born Jehoshaphat, and to Jehoshaphat Joram, and to Joram Uzziah, and to Uzziah was born Jotham. And to Jotham Ahaz, and to Ahaz Hezekiah, and to Hezekiah was born Manasseh, and to Manasseh Ammon, and to Ammon Josiah, and to Josiah was born Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. You recognize all those names as kings of Judah. Most of them during the period of the divided kingdom. And so who is this Jesus, Matthew asks? He's the King of Kings. The king who has come through the lineage of David to rule on his throne, to establish an everlasting kingdom. Now, to illustrate how the Jews understood this, keep your place here, but look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, this is when Jesus is being questioned by his enemies. They're trying to trap him and trick him into saying something. And finally, when he's answered all of them, he gets his opportunity to ask a question. In Matthew chapter 22, look at verse 41. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" Now, he is not necessarily asking them, "What do you say about me?" Because they don't believe that he's the Christ. He is speaking in general terms of the Messiah, the one who's been promised, anointed of God. "Whose son is he?" And notice what they say. They said to him, "The son of David." That's who they were looking for. That's who the prophets foretold of. That was God's promise. The Lion of Judah. The one who would come like a root out of parched ground. And they were waiting for redemption. They were waiting for their king to come and rescue them. And watch how Jesus responds in verse 43. "Then how does David, in the Spirit, that is inspired by God, call him Lord?" And here Jesus quotes from the most quoted passage of all the Old Testament in the New Testament, Psalm 110. And here's what David said in that psalm. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies beneath thy feet." So Jesus points to a passage where David is speaking by inspiration and said, "The Lord," that's Jehovah God, "said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool thy feet." That passage throughout the New Testament is universally applied to Jesus. People understood that was talking about Jesus. And so the Lord's question is, well, how can the Christ be both a descendant of David and superior to David? David's Lord. And And not only could they not answer that question, they didn't ask him any more questions after that. Jesus was showing, I am the Christ. I'm David's seed, but I'm also David's Lord because I'm the Son of God. The King of Kings. Now, as we read through those names in Jesus' genealogy, you recognize some as good kings and some as bad kings. Some were righteous fathers and they had wicked sons. And some were good sons and they had unrighteous, or good fathers and they had unrighteous sons. Well, what's going to make Jesus different? What's going to make him the King of Kings? Because he will be a righteous king and a just king who's not only a conqueror, but the Prince of Peace. Somebody was talking about John Kilgore, the director of FC Dry Creek Camp, and they said, I bet he's a lot like a benevolent dictator, isn't he? And I said, no, that's way too strong. I would never call John benevolent. Our king is benevolent. He not only shepherds his people, he serves them. The King of Kings. In this section, we have another woman not named in the original, just simply Solomon, by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Now, the scriptures don't tell us, but I suppose it's possible, just like Uriah was a Hittite, that Bathsheba was too. But certainly, she was an adulteress. Does that mean God had no use for her? We know David repented. Certainly she did. And just like God had mercy for David and Bathsheba, he has mercy for those who flee to the Son of David, the King of Kings. That's who this Jesus is. He's the King of Kings, the seed of Abraham. But notice this last section beginning with verse 12. And after the deportation to Babylon, to Jeconiah was born Shealtiel, and to Shealtiel Zerubbabel, and to Zerubbabel was born Abihud, and to Abihud Eliakim, and to Eliakim Azor, and to Azor was born Zadok, and to Zadok Akim, and to Akim Eliad, and to Eliad was born Eleazar. To Eleazar, Matan, and to Matan, Jacob, and to Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. The deportation to Babylon was a dark period in the history of God's people. Remember, God had promised through Abraham's seed, you can live in this land. If you're faithful to the covenant, I'll bless you in this land of promise. But they did not obey the Lord. And he came through the nation of Babylon to carry them away into 70 years of captivity. And so you think about darkness. You think about hopeless and helpless times. These are illustrated for us through Psalm 137. I want to read those words with you. Psalm 137 is about the time of captivity and the feelings of the people of Israel. Psalm 137 and verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Upon the willows in the midst of it, we hung our harps. For there our captors demand of us songs and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us of the songs of Zion. You hear the sarcasm and the taunt of the Babylonians. Sing us your songs to your God. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, you devastated one, how blessed will be the one who repays you with the recompense with which you have repaid us. And here's what the Babylonians did to the people of God. How blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your little ones against the rock. You think in such times you would cry for a Savior? Someone to come deliver us? Who is this Jesus? He's the Savior of all men. We've already seen that through Rahab, the Canaanite, and Ruth, the Moabitess. Look at the prophecy that's made to Mary later in Matthew 1 and verse 21. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Did you notice that when it got to Joseph, it did not say in the likeness of the other names, and to Joseph was born Jesus? Because Jesus was not the earthly son through the seed of Joseph. It was through the seed of the Holy Spirit. Mary fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 7 and verse 14 that a virgin shall be with child. And Jesus came into the earth born of a woman. To be Emmanuel, God with us. You You see, to save mankind, the Savior could not come from within humanity alone. He had to be the Son of Man and the Son of God to be the Savior of all men. Who is this Jesus? He came to save us from the captivity of sin, from the darkness of death. Jesus came to be the light of the world, to shine in darkness at a time where we're crying for a Savior. Jesus is the Savior of all men. And by Him, we become the sons and daughters of God. When I was playing around on the Ancestry.com website, I saw a link to a special they were having on a DNA test. And it came with a warning. Said, you may find out things about your family you wish you didn't know. So I didn't proceed any further. But you know, the genealogy of Jesus had those too. Misfits. Mess ups. Those who had just made terrible things out of their lives. And God redeemed them and used them and fulfilled His purposes to bring about the Messiah, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David. Would you let Him have His way with you tonight? You can be born again. You can be God's child into His family that the Son of David and the Son of Abraham through faith becomes your spiritual heritage. And by serving this Jesus and bowing before Him as the King and trusting in His promise to return to judge the living and the dead, you can be ready for that day to come. Come confess your faith and be baptized. Come back to Him. Come and let us encourage and help you as we make our journey to the land of promise to the faithful. Come right now while we stand, while we sing.